Good. Good. So, were you excited by what Karen was saying about what was happening at St. Philip's in Bath? Was that exciting? Good. Okay, remember that. remember what Barbara said about being sealed as well. Does that make you feel really comfortable in Jesus? Does that make you feel comfortable this morning? Good. Remember that. So, we're going to be doing walking on water this morning. So, bit of a warning, this might be a bit of a challenge for you. So, those of you who've heard me speak before will know that I do quite like to give you challenges. This morning is no exception. So, we're going to be looking at the story of Jesus walking on the water. And so, over. But I think it's always useful to see the background of why a particular event is recorded in the Gospels, because that helps us understand the context of the disciples' reactions in particular, because the whole walking on water story, you kind of need to understand where were the disciples when that event happened. So we have to remember that up to that point, there were countless miracles that Jesus had done. So there were healings of the lepers, the blind, the mute, the demon-possessed. There was a raising from the dead. And there were many more as well. And then, of course, there was turning the water into wine. And, of course, the story that immediately precedes this particular story about walking on the water, and that is the feeding of the 5,000. Of course, there were other significant events as well that the disciples would have been involved in. So there was the Sermon on the Mount. There were many parables, there was the woman at the well, and the sending out of the disciples themselves to go and preach and to heal in the towns round about. So that's the context of where the disciples were at when we get to this story. And of course, all of these experiences were quite spectacular, and they were very, very public. The disciples would have either been there at those actual events, or they would have heard from first-hand accounts that those things had happened. So they had seen a lot. They had experienced a lot. And they had learnt a lot. And you know, that's much like our own experiences. You know, I think a lot of people in this room, what I would call mature Christians, that isn't to say in age, but actually you've been in faith and you've had that relationship with Jesus for a long time, for many years. And so you have a lot of experience of what it is to be a Christian. You've seen God move in marvelous ways many, many times over. So there we have the background. So are you sitting comfortably? As in good old Watch with Mother or Listen with Mother days, for those of you who are slightly more inclined to the radio, then I'll begin. But that might be the problem, you see. You see, sometimes we do just do that. We sit comfortably. And that's why I just quizzed you before about, are you sitting comfortably? Because you know you're sealed. Because it doesn't stop there, you see. It would be easy to say, well, I'm signed, sealed, and delivered. Boom. But that's not what God wants from you. God wants something more than that. And you know what? If you sit for too long in comfort, all that happens is you'll get a sore bum for sitting too long. You'll eventually get left behind because all your friends will move on. And you'll get cold. And I can't imagine any of you, as in your Christian life, you want to get cold. That's why you keep coming on Sundays. That's why you come to Life Group. That's why you get involved, is because you don't want to get cold. So my first challenge to you this morning is, are you sitting comfortably? Or are you sitting too comfortably? So let's have a look at the story in a bit more detail. We're going to look at the story from Matthew's Gospel. Because there's slightly more detail in it. But I particularly want to look closely at what Peter did in this story. So there's one other story I just want you to remember that's in the disciples' experience, and that was the calming of the storm. So if you remember, that's where they were all in the boat together, the disciples and Jesus. Jesus was having a quiet nap in the corner. He wasn't in the state cabin or anything like that, because that's not the kind of boats they have on Galilee, but he was there having a quiet sleep. And of course, the disciples had to wake him up because the storm was raging and they feared for their lives. So just bear in mind that they had that experience of being out on the Sea of Galilee in a storm. So Matthew chapter 14, and I'm going to read this out because we don't often have the word read out on a Sunday morning. We have snippets, but I think it's just useful sometimes just to have the word read out. So Matthew 14, verse 22. Immediately Jesus made the disciples get into the boat and go on ahead of him to the other side while he dismissed the crowd. And after he dismissed them, he went up on a mountainside by himself to pray. Late that night, he was there alone, and the boat was already a considerable distance from land, buffeted by the waves because the wind was against it. Shortly before dawn, Jesus went out to them, walking on the lake. When the disciples saw him walking on the lake, they were terrified. "It's a ghost," they said, and cried out in fear. But Jesus immediately said to them, "Take courage, it is I. Don't be afraid." "Lord, if it's you," Peter replied, tell me to come to you on the water." "Come," he said. Then Peter got down out of the boat, walked on the water, and came toward Jesus. But when he saw the wind, he was afraid, and beginning to sink, cried out, "Lord, save me." Immediately Jesus reached out his hand and caught him. "You have little faith," he said. "Why did you doubt?" And when they climbed into the boat, the wind died down. Then those who were in the boat worshipped him, saying, "Truly, you are the Son of God." When they had crossed over, they landed at Gennesaret. And when the men of that place recognized Jesus, they sent word to all the surrounding country. People brought all their sick to him and begged him to let the sick just touch the edge of his cloak, and all who touched it were healed. So there's quite a lot to unpack in this. So we're going to move through a reasonable pace. So the first thing I want to highlight here is about moving on. So we've just come back off the story of the feeding of the 5,000, and one of the things that Jesus asked his disciples to do immediately is to send his disciples onwards across the lake. You see, it would have been easy for the disciples to have stayed present at the feeding of the 5,000 in total awe of what had happened. But Jesus wanted his disciples to move on to the next thing, not to stay in the one place in the experience that they were in. And that's how it can be like for us sometimes. You know, we can be in awe of the experiences that we have with Jesus. You know, it could be part of a special time of worship, for example, or it could be at a Christian conference where something marvelous has happened to us, or when the Holy Spirit is moving in a meeting, we just want to stay in that place, in that, and be present in that place forever. But that isn't what Jesus wants from us. You see, we get too comfortable in those kinds of scenarios. And actually, God wants us to move on to the next thing, to the next experience. Otherwise, why would Paul have written, "Pressing on towards the goal for which God has called me"? Otherwise, Paul would have said, "When you found that place, stay forever." That would have been what he would have written. But that's not what he wrote. To press on to the goal which God has called me. I guess the question there is, do you know what God has called you to do? So that's a bit of a challenge. But sometimes we just need a bit of a shove to get on and progress in our faith. And maybe this morning you have been feeling that the Holy Spirit has been giving you a bit of a shove. And you know the Holy Spirit's been giving you a bit of a shove, but you're resisting it because actually I'm quite comfortable where I am, being in this place right now. So anyway, the disciples, they sail off into the sunset. And they follow Jesus' instruction, as was their wont, because obviously Jesus knew what he was talking about. And for them, it wouldn't have been a particularly unusual experience to go sailing across the lake. They'd done it many times before. And of course, they'd done it with Jesus before as well. But however, unexpectedly, they found themselves in this dramatic situation where a gale came up and the winds and the waves started crashing in and they started to fear for their own lives. I could tell you a story about my one experience of being doing some sailing. So my dad, he had done some sailing in his youth, and we were on holiday in North Wales. So I don't know whether you know where Lake Tallaglen is, not far from Tawyn. It's a beautiful lake in the mountains there. There was some yachts we could hire. So we hired this yacht, and I thought, okay, Dad knows what he's doing. I've never been on a sailing boat before, but this looks like good fun. So we got into this yacht, and we went flying across this lake. It was really, you know, impressive speed as we went flying across. The wind caught the sails, and off we went. At one end of the lake, there's a sort of little knoll, a hill. And we got to the other side of this hill, and then suddenly the wind really hit us, and we immediately capsized. So my one experience of sailing lasted about 40 seconds before I was in the water with a life jacket on. We should have known better, really, because at the other end of the lake, there was white water and waves at the other end of the lake. But it was a good experience for 40 seconds anyway, and it gives me a good chance to regale a story of... Actually, I empathize with what the disciples were facing, because when the wind and the waves really does start to blow, no matter how tough, that can be our experience too. You know, we can be set off on a mission that maybe we feel God is asking us to go somewhere, to do something, to see somebody, to be in a particular experience. And sometimes we can then get into that situation where actually we thought it was all going to be familiar, but now we find ourselves struggling because the wind of the world comes in and impacts what we're doing. You know, I imagine the disciples in their situation were hoping, or they were wishing, that Jesus had been in the boat with them, like last time, like their previous experience. But you know, they knew that Jesus was alone on the land. He'd gone off to pray up a mountainside, so they couldn't rely on Jesus at that point, and they thought they would have to fend for themselves. But Jesus knew. Jesus knew what was going on. And Jesus now came and intervened in the disciples' situation. And you know, that's a bit like for us, really, that when we face challenges, we need to look to Jesus to intervene in those situations. You know, we can rely on our own strength up to a point, but there will come a point when the only solution is to wait for Jesus and God's intervention in our lives. So Jesus went out walking on the lake. Now, I don't know what you imagine walking on the lake is. Is it something walking in the shallows? You know, it's the water's about this deep. But no, this is in deep water. And, you know, because remember the writers in the Gospels say that actually the boat was quite a long way out, maybe 2, 3, 4 miles out across the lake. So this was not just something close to the shore. This wasn't just an illusion, as some people would say, this is what the Bible story is, it's just an illusion. No, this is walking, properly walking through the waves. And what this tells us, I think, is that it doesn't matter what situations you face, God is in control of those situations. Jesus was in control of nature, and as we will see later in the story, the waves did calm down. But the fact that Jesus was able to do this just shows that God is in complete control of nature and the situation that those disciples found themselves in. And so we need to have faith that when we face the challenges, God is in complete control of our situation, no matter what we're facing. So then they see Jesus. Hurrah! Excellent! There he is. only I think that's a ghost. That can't be the real guy, because the real guy is up a mountain over there praying. What's he doing here? That can't be him. This must be an illusion. But no, it really was Jesus who was intervening in their situation. And they had that challenge of recognizing Jesus was intervening. How often do we find ourselves in a situation where we're not really sure whether Jesus is actually intervening? How often do we struggle with recognizing who Jesus is? See, God wants us not to look in the other direction, but to actually look to Jesus and to recognize who he is, our Savior. We can be looking to others to solve our situation, which is okay, but actually God wants us to look to him. And God may well put others in your situation to help you out. Sometimes it might even be an angel. I know a very good story of one of my friends whose mum had an angel encounter when she was running out of petrol in her car. And people do have these angelic experiences. You know, the Bible talks about it. I think the important thing here is, although the disciples were struggling to recognize who Jesus was and to grasp the reality of the situation, Jesus was doing the unexpected and the impossible. And sometimes in our own experiences, we wonder why Jesus moves in the way he does. And it can be unexpected. It can seem impossible. It can seem, well, why wouldn't you do the obvious thing, Jesus? This is what I plan to do. But Jesus is different. He has a different objective. And you know, the word impossible, you may have heard me say this before, the word impossible is two letters too long. So you strike off the I and the M, and everything becomes possible. And the reason why it's an I and an M is because you don't want to be saying, I'm going to get myself out of this situation. I'm going to solve this problem. I'm not going to need anyone else to help. Take yourself out of the situation, and everything is possible with God. So you may be in a situation right now where you are trying everything, every fiber of your being to solve a particular problem in your life. Take yourself out of the situation and give it to God. Because in God, everything is possible. Jesus looked at them and said, with man, this is impossible, but with God, all things are possible. So the reality of that is you can experience that in your life too. All of this kind of points to one key thing, and is that is, what are you seeking in your life? What are you looking for in your life? Is it your own endeavors, or is it God's endeavors? Jesus again says, but seek first his kingdom and his righteousness, and all these things will be given to you as well. Now, we often use that verse when we're talking to people who are not Christians. But actually, the reality of that verse is it's for every one of you in this room who is a Christian. It's inviting you to realign your thinking to seek first his kingdom and the purposes of his kingdom. So my challenge to you again is, what are you seeking this morning? What are you looking for? And where are you going? Now, fortunately for the disciples, Jesus immediately spoke into their experience. He said, take courage, it is I, don't be afraid. And so it is for us, you know. Jesus speaks directly into our experience through the power of the Holy Spirit. When Jesus arrived in that situation with the disciples on the lake, he made a huge difference. And because of Jesus, all he taught and all he did, your life is different now. You see, you're not alone. You have a Heavenly Father who loves you immensely. You have the Holy Spirit who comes and impacts your life, guides you and comforts you in the way you are. You see, when you share those problems, you are sharing those problems with your Heavenly Father, with Jesus, and with the Holy Spirit. But it's this next bit that's the really important bit for you this morning. So Peter, typically gung-ho, it's always Peter, isn't it? Whenever there's a big thing going on that's, you know, right in your face, it's always Peter. See, when he then went to step out and he wanted to go meet Jesus out on the water. And of course, Jesus welcomed him, said, "Peter, come on. I'm encouraging you to come out and walk on the water with me." And Peter was the only one in the boat who reacted in faith. You didn't have the disciples clambering over the gunwale saying, "Right, I'm going to get out on the water as well." It was only Peter. His impulsive request led him to experience a pretty unusual demonstration of God's power. And Jesus' presence in the storm caused Peter to exercise a fearless faith. So, when God's calling us to step out, can we do so with a fearless faith because we know God's on our side? Peter overcame his fear, and he managed to do the impossible, walk on the water towards Jesus. But he only did so because of Jesus' command to come. So what is Jesus saying to you in your life right now? Is he saying, "Come, I want you to do this experience. Come, I want you to go there. Come, I want you to talk to those people"? Is that what he's saying? Is Jesus encouraging you in your life to step out in faith? Or are you, "Hey, I'm really comfortable, thank you. I'm just good where I am"? Now, when Peter noticed the wind and the waves, he became frightened. And of course, he began to sink. And he cried out, "Lord, save me." And that was because Peter took his eyes off Jesus. So the environment hadn't changed. There were still wind and waves. He was still walking on the water, but because he took his eyes off Jesus, suddenly his experience, like, you know, us, but if we take our eyes off Jesus, our experience will be different. So I'm just encouraging you, when you're in your experience, keep your eyes on Jesus. Because if you don't, your environment will change. And you'll start to sink, just as Peter did. And his faith wavered. And I'm sure we can all regale experiences of when our faith wavered at times in past. You see, his faith was strong enough to get out of the boat in the first place and start walking on the water. But when he realized that he was in a terrifying storm, his faith could not stand up to that storm. And although we may start out with good intentions, sometimes our faith is weak. And in the experience we see of Peter here, we can see this is a bit like our discipleship, you know, our journey, if you like, with Jesus. That sometimes we get out of the boat in confidence, but then we lose sight of who Jesus is and our environment changes. So though Peter's faith faltered, he knew what he had to do next. He reached out to Jesus. And of course, Jesus didn't say, "Well, hard luck, mate. You had a good go. Nice to see ya." No. Jesus reached out his hand and grasped Peter's. And we just need to know that when we when our faith falters, that all we really have to do is to reach out our hand and say, Jesus, grab me, rescue me, hold me tight, and he'll pull us out of that experience. And our environment will then change. So the experience hasn't changed. It's still wind and waves, but the environment will change that we finally find ourselves in. And then, of course, they get back into the boat, and what happens then? The storm calms down. You see, Jesus is then bringing everything back to order. And I think that's really important for our own experience, that if we trust in Jesus, then he will bring things back to order. It may seem a complete mess to us. Our experience might well be that, whoa, we're all over the place. Don't really know what's happening. Don't know which way to turn. My environment's changing. It's just getting more and more confused. It's more stressful. I'm really, really struggling. But reaching out to Jesus makes the difference, makes the environment change. And then the storm calms down and everything is back, brought back to order. So here's the important point. That is Peter got out of the boat in the first place. You see, despite the wind and the waves, as hardened fishermen, they would have felt relatively safe being out on the water. They knew the Sea of Galilee. They knew there would be storms and that coming up, but they just felt better and more comfortable in that experience. But when it gets challenging, that's when the difficulties come. And then, of course, the challenge was stepping out into the waves, as Peter had to do. But that wasn't where Jesus wanted them to be. Jesus didn't want them sitting in the boat. He wanted them to come and experience what he was doing, walking on the water. So he encouraged Peter to step out in faith. So is Jesus saying to you this morning to step out of the boat in faith? And make determined steps to come to where he is, where he wants you to be. Have you moved so far away from Jesus that actually it seems too much of a stretch to do that? Now, just as the disciples had a big experience of who Jesus was and what his purpose was, this experience of walking on the water, so we too have had a lot of experience of who Jesus is. That's why I was saying about us as mature Christians, we know stuff that has happened in our experience and in the experience of our friends and families. But the question then comes back to, are we ready? Are you ready? Am I ready to step out of the boat in faith? Because Jesus is saying, come. If we want to see this church grow, if we want to see people healed, if we want to see people's lives and experiences changed, if we want to see our own environment change for the better, then we need to get out of the boat. We need to say, follow Jesus when Jesus says, come. And sure, there will be challenges. And that's of what the world expects of us. But we need to be confident to step out of the boat in the first place. And this is Pentecost Sunday. And of course, Peter is one of the great characters, if you like, the center points of what happens at Pentecost immediately after when he stands up and speaks to the great crowd. But you know what? I don't think Peter would have been ready for what happened at Pentecost had he not learned these valuable lessons of walking on the water. And I'll leave you with these particular lessons. First of all, to recognize who Jesus is. Secondly, to get out of the boat in faith. Thirdly, to keep your eyes on Jesus. Four, to reach out for a helping hand when you're struggling. Five, to reset and to keep walking. And six, to remember faith overcomes fear. So I guess the question is, do you want to stay comfortable in the boat? Or do you want to respond when Jesus says, come? we could have a ministry time here now. We could ask people to stand. But actually, it's your own personal response. It isn't about you standing up here on a Sunday morning and then Monday morning being no different. If we really want to be transformational for this church, then it's not the responsibility of the leaders particularly, or the elders, or the people who speak at the front, or the life group leaders. It's all of our responsibility. Jesus is saying to you, step out of the boat. Come walk with me on the water. Keep your eyes focused on me so you don't sink when the storms of life come. And let's be transformational for this church. Let's fill this place with new people. Because it's incumbent on each one of us to help achieve that. It's not down to me or the leaders totally. So I'd encourage you, I'll hand back to Steve now in a moment, but I would just encourage you to take stock of where you're at. Are you too comfortable? Yeah, I'm sealed. Brilliant. I see the experiences of what's happening in other churches. But don't be too comfortable. If you want those kinds of experiences here, or in Bradford and Avon when we get back into the centre of town, then it's our responsibility as a church community to start walking on the water.
Thank you, Steve. I think there's a lot of challenges there for you. A lot of things to think about, a lot of decisions to make. One thing that struck me about that passage was, it says that immediately Jesus made the disciples get into the boat and go ahead of him to the other side. When Jesus puts you in the boat and says go, you're going to get to where you're going to because he said it. It doesn't matter what obstacles are in the way, doesn't matter what comes up against you. If Jesus has said, you'll go into the other side, you'll go into the other side. And that's where your faith has to hold in. So I think as decisions and thoughts for people to process about where you want to be, where you want to get to, do you want to be in the boat that's going somewhere, or do you just want to remain in the harbour for the rest of your lives? And that's for each one to decide. And so I'm going to close in prayer. I'm going to just read a passage before we close, which the Lord put on my heart this morning. It says, where can I go from your spirit? Where can I flee from your presence? If I go up to the heavens, you are there. If I make my bed in the depths, you are there. If I rise on the wings of the dawn, if I settle on the far side of the sea, even there, your hand will guide me. Your right hand will hold me fast. So what boat the Lord has put you in and where you are going, you will know this, that his hand will guide you and his right hand will hold you fast. Isn't that wonderful? Let's pray, shall we? Father, we thank you for your word today. And we come before you, those who have been sealed, those who have been redeemed, those who have been saved by your grace. And we want to be where you want us to be, Lord. We don't want to be like people in boats that just never go anywhere. But Lord, we want to be on the journey that you have marked out for us, the places where you want us to go. We want to move into the spiritual dimensions where you want to take us. We want to know the depth of the power and the revelation of the Holy Spirit in our lives, that we may be effective and fruitful in our lives. And so, Lord, speak to our hearts, speak to our minds. And I pray that we would be a people of faith who are able to get out of that boat, but just keep our eyes fixed on you, not on the problems, not on the storms, not on the winds, not on the impossible situation that in the natural realm we appear to be in. But we look to you, the author and perfecter of our faith. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Okay, God bless you. If anybody wants to come forward for any prayer or ministry, then please do.